1048DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. That is the sound of a chandelier swinging back and forth inside a building on Taiwan, where at least seven people have been killed in the island's worst earthquake in a quarter century. There are fears others are buried in landslides and debris that have closed highways along the east coast. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes is in Taipei.
This was a very shallow earthquake and a very powerful earthquake, and the shaking intensity that they use here is a scale of 1 to 7, and it was 7. So this is a very, very intense shaking indeed. And because of that, it has done a lot of damage.
Israel continues to respond to global outrage over yesterday's airstrike that killed seven World Central Kitchen members as they delivered food to the hungry in Gaza. IDF Chief Herzi Halevi.
We will continue taking immediate actions to ensure that more is done to protect humanitarian aid workers.
He calls it a mistake that followed a misidentification in complex conditions. A second day of severe weather has swept parts of this nation's midsection. Louisville, Kentucky Mayor Craig Greenberg.
The damage that we're seeing, particularly in the Prospect area of our city, is consistent with a tornado.
Extreme winds also tore roofs off homes and snapped trees in Tennessee and Indiana, where at least 10 people were hurt. Lawyers for the state of Texas will be in federal court today in hopes of enforcing a controversial immigration law. Reporter Chris Fox has details from Austin.
The Fifth Circuit Court hearing pits Texas versus the Biden administration. Texas Governor Greg Abbott contends his state has the legal right to arrest and deport migrants suspected of illegally crossing from Mexico.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas.
The U.S. DOJ and ACLU have argued the law violates the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
The largest fresh egg producer in the U.S. has paused production. Cal-Maine Foods in Ridgeland, Texas, is reporting bird flu in its chickens. The company says there is no risk associated with eggs that are already on the market. The virus has also turned up at a poultry facility in Michigan. Comedian George Carlin's estate has reached a settlement over an AI fake.
I'd like to start off with a heartfelt apology. I'm sorry it took me so long to come out with new material, but I do have a pretty good excuse. I was dead.
Dudesy podcasters Will Sasso and Chad Kultgen have agreed to permanently remove their comedy special and never repost it on any platform. No word on monetary damages. George Carlin died in 2008. S&P futures down 8. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin voters are approving two new amendments to the state constitution. The first will ban private grants to help local offices run their elections. The second will limit who should be allowed to serve as a poll worker. That means clerks can no longer apply for, accept, or use private money, and only election officials designated by law can conduct elections. Donald Trump is the winner of the Republican presidential primary in Wisconsin. He campaigned in Green Bay Tuesday.
Republicans must win. We want to landslide. We want it to be too big to rig.
President Biden won the Democratic primary. He campaigns in Madison Monday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
A win on opening day. Now Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers kicked off their home game season with a 3-2 win over the Minnesota Twins. There was a home run by Christian Yelich, some good pitching, and new third baseman Oliver Dunn with a SportsCenter top 10 catch that had him looking like Superman on Bally Sports.
Liner caught! Put a cape on him!
Yep,
couple of steps, a dive, and able to keep it in the glove. Big defense.
Oliver Dunn after the game.
We were playing down the line, and I knew that more than likely the ball was going to be at me or that way. So I think I was anticipating a little bit being that way because we were guarding the double. But it was one of those ones you just hope to react the right way when the play happens.
NBA, the Bucks lose another road game, this time to the Wizards. 117-113.
I don't know. I just think they outplayed us. Give them credit. I thought they were faster, quicker. I don't know if we took them light or not, to be honest. I just thought they outplayed us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be windy with scattered off and on snow through the day today. We may only get a couple more inches of accumulation, but wind will be from the north gusting to between 30 and 40, even up to 45 at times, and that will create some issues. 37 today, more light rain and snow tonight, 33 tomorrow, rain and snow ending 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And if you can hear me over the howling wind, hey there, Wisconsin, good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, April 3rd. I have to use finger quotes today, beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, where it's cold, it's windy. We've been enduring this winter storm in the springtime, but wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, or by podcast, we just hope you're driving safely out there. And again, there will be a warm-up. Spring is not too far away. Just going to hang in there a little bit longer. I got a question for you on this Wednesday. Do you appreciate how much work still lies ahead of us between now and November 5th? Because based on former President Trump's hateful screed in Green Bay last evening and some of last night's election results, there is still a lot of work to be done to remind our friends and neighbors not to abandon the angels of our better nature and the policies that are actually working for Wisconsin families, American businesses, and so on. So we'll talk all about that in and out throughout the show today, especially in our second hour with our friends from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, talking about the truly mixed bag of results that came in yesterday. But we'll cover more of that in the next couple of minutes here as well. Also ahead is our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff coming up in about 25 minutes or so. And we're going to talk about how it's basically going to be a summer of rebates. Again, when I talk about the policies that work for Wisconsin, I'm talking in this case about the Inflation Reduction Act and the investment in energy efficiency and the nearly $150 million that's going to come back to Wisconsin residents who make energy improvements in their homes or in their garages. And we'll review some of the options that can bring relief to the climate while also reducing your energy bill. And we'll talk to Todd Alba, who is on the road statewide, and his show comes to the Chippewa Valley later today. So we will visit with him about that as well. It's normally where I whip around the state and tell you what the temperatures are here, but given all the election results and sports results I was plugging in and everything, I can tell you it's 36 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. And other temperatures can't be far off it, including whatever the temperature is, whatever undisclosed temperature readout it says right now in Waukesha, Wisconsin, where we find Greg Bach standing by. Mr. Bach, do you have a thermometer there?
I do.
Oh, good. don't make that face. he's like, I know a secret. How are things down there?
Down in Waukesha, it's windy, it is cold, and it's not like it's snowing, but it's not snowing. It's snowy. It's more annoying than anything. But yeah, it's chilly out. It's chilly out, which, you know, happy April 3rd.
Yep.
To all who celebrate.
Hopefully. Yes.
Yeah, it's you know, I looked at the forecast for the next few days, and it'll we're going to get to spring, and I'm not that worried. I will say, just really quick, I was looking at the Kenosha election results, and one county board seat was decided by a vote.
A vote? Mm-hmm. See? Every vote matters. Agreed. You know, your vote matters, sir. How was the home opener for the Brewers?
Oh, my God. Pat, it was perfect. I mean, okay, so I'll make this very quick. It was raining, yes. And we knew that. We could see outside, raining. Got to the parking lot. They had that new parking system in place. They got rid of the old system where you pay someone before you get in. You know, you get a scan. And I think that system crashed. And about halfway through the game, they put up a big thing on the new 12,000 square foot sign. Well, almost 13,000 square foot sign.
Mm-hmm.
That said, everyone gets free parking.
Yay.
Christian Yelich hit a banger. Jackson Chirio came out. I mean, I wanted Jackson to hit a home run. I really wanted Willy Adames to hit a home run, but he didn't. But Jackson did great. The whole team did great. There was an energy and a vibe. The team won. We had a great time. It was really it was a nice, nice home opener. And
how about for all of the reasons to cheer during the game? How about that cheer when Bob Uecker was introduced?
Oh my gosh, yeah. And man, I love Bob Uecker. I grew up with Bob Uecker. He's the voice of the Brewers always and forever. But I just want to be like, hey Brewers, can you do me a solid? Can you win a World Series this year? So because he'll retire the moment it happens.
Oh yeah, of course.
And I'm just nervous because he's 90.
Mm-hmm. So, 90 and now starting his 54th season broadcasting Brewers baseball. There was a sellout crowd there, 41,658 plus Greg. And Jackson Chirio singled in a run in his first plate appearance. It was with the bases loaded. But all he did was he just kept the merry-go-round going because there were already one-out singles by Rhys Hoskins, Oliver Dunn, Bryce Terang. So Jackson Chirio steps up and, you know, gets a single as well with an RBI. So, you know, that's a good omen because, again, you're Milwaukee Brewers 4-0 right now.
4-0. And I can't believe the Pirates are 5-0. Like that is a massive turnaround between seasons. But all those analytics that are out there having our guys on Matt and Aaron here talking about sports, they're all saying the same thing. You know, they have us finishing really close to the bottom or at the bottom. Like, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Please do it. Do it for Uke, if nothing else. Meanwhile, while we're covering sports here at the 6-12, the Wizards beat the Bucks last night 117-113, despite Giannis getting another triple-double, 35 points, 15 boards, and 10 assists. But Milwaukee, from three-point range, shot 11 of 48, which, as you know, I am not Mr. Three-pointer. I'd be fine if it went away tomorrow, and I can't imagine the frustration if I'd have watched that game and watched the Bucks miss 37 different 3-point shots. The Bucks are now 18-20 on the road, but they're still in second place in the Eastern Conference, and they're back home tonight. They will host the Memphis Grizzlies. The broadcast starts at 6:30 on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center and Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. As for the Brewers, they continue their series against the Twins. Game two, first pitch is at 12:10 this afternoon at American Family Field. The broadcast starts at 11:35 this morning on News from the Center, WRJN in Racine, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls, all those stations on the Civic Media Radio Network that cover sports for you so well throughout the day, throughout the course of the year. It's about 6:14 right now. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the results from last night. Like I said, it was truly a mixed bag of results. And I'm going to start by saying that the mayor's race in Wausau continues a depressingly familiar cycle where progressives solve problems Then they get criticized for what it costs to solve those problems. Conservatives promise to spend less money. They then get elected. They typically do a poor job addressing problems or don't address them at all. Then progressives come back in to fix them, which costs money. And then they get dinged in the next election and so on and so on. So Katie Rosenberg, despite four admirable years in helping the city face one of its biggest crises of our time, was unseated by a 52-48 margin to Doug Dinney in the mayor's race. In the Milwaukee Public Schools referendum, that measure passed 51-49. Other measures passed, like here in Chippewa Falls. But in many smaller communities, their schools now face some terrible cuts after their neighbors rejected pleas for help, not to engage in any new major projects, but simply to continue the cost of operations after over a decade of being choked by a Republican-led legislature. So now we wait and see what the next legislature will do and see if they'll do right by public education in this state. Now, people will say that there were a noteworthy number of votes in the Democratic presidential primary that were not cast for Joe Biden. I would kindly remind people that about double that number voted in the Republican presidential primary for anyone other than Donald Trump. He does not have serious levels of support in this state. All national polling shows it to be basically a toss-up at 46-46 right now. But again, 46-46 only gets you to 92. There's probably not 8% that's going to go third party or independent or something else. So that number is very much in play. And as Greg mentioned with the Kenosha School District, or in the Kenosha area, where one county board seat was decided by one vote, your votes are really going to count in this presidential race and everything else. The proposed constitutional amendments passed, which again only underscores the need for what we do at Up North News and at Civic Media, and that is to inform people to look beyond just the surface talking points. That when people are talking about, you know, Zuckerbucks and private money, you know, what does that mean? And we're able to explain to our listeners and to our readers exactly what that means. And again, how the legislature is underfunding the cost to hold a competent election. But clearly, that's a message that still needs to get out to more people. And in fact, I think when we talk to Melissa Baldoff in a bit, we're going to say the same thing about the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to make tremendous investments in energy efficiency. It's going to lower people's household bills. It's going to be better for the climate. But the number of people who are aware of the Inflation Reduction Act and what it does is still far too low. And when people, you know, who are supporters of President Biden say, how are more people not aware of all of the good things that got passed in the first half of his term and the good that it's going to do to people? That's a fair question. That's a question that the president's campaign team is going to have to work on. And Melissa's going to tell us more about how some of that work has got to be done, knocking on one door at a time to let people know about the benefits that are out there that one side has been working toward on your behalf. Unfortunately, however, we've got to deal with people, including the former president, who are making, I can't even call them, shameful would be almost a compliment of how to describe the things that Donald Trump said yesterday, first in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then here in Green Bay last evening. So coming up in just a moment, we'll play some of his remarks, false as they may be or ugly as they may be, because then we're also going to hear from a couple of folks who attended Trump's rally in Green Bay. And again, when you hear what they have to say, it comes back to my original question. Do you appreciate how much work needs to be done between now and November 5th? We'll cover that. So much more yet ahead on this Wednesday morning, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The number one song this day in 1961 by the Marcells. More coming up in today's history lesson about a half hour from now. If you want to reach us, the phone number is 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. You can call it. You can text it. You can put comments on our Facebook page where you can watch us do the show live. Always great to hear from you from wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. The Up North News Daily newsletter comes out about 5 a.m. every day, and Christina Laurie puts that together for us. And in today's, I was just scrolling through today's right now, we've got some takeaways from spring election results. We've got 11 Wisconsin schools that dominate national rankings in some form or another. And then a commentary from me on what's next now that this spring presidential primary, spring general election is over. A reminder that we're not on pause till next November. There will be a primary election in August for the November ballot. That will include places like the 3rd Congressional District in western and central Wisconsin, where there currently are three Democratic candidates seeking to challenge Republican Derek Van Orden. Who will be that nominee? It depends on who shows up to the polls coming up this August. So be aware of that, and be aware that, again, if you think you're going to forget about the August primary, then go ahead and apply now to get absentee ballots sent to you for the August and November elections. Go to myvote.wi.gov, and you'll find out the option to have that happen for you. Before I get to Trump, let me revisit again the Wausau mayor's race, where Katie Rosenberg was upset by Doug Dinney, a city council member. And I've already stated, you know, basically, again, how the cycle works with, you know, progressive versus conservative leadership. But I can't let it go without as well making note of some of the other things that were said during the race. There's, for example, State Senator Corey Tomchek, the person who is trying to sue a news outlet out of business, despite, you know, his lawsuit being thrown out of court. He's continuing to appeal and rack up legal costs, trying to draw the Wausau Pilot and Review out of business. He also said recently that Katie Rosenberg, the mayor, should be an actress because she's, quote, always so emotional. And that's the kind of rhetoric that we've been putting up with for far too long. But there's also this from the chairman of the state Republican Party, Brian Schimming, who said, congratulations to Republican-backed Doug Dinney on his triumph in the Wausau mayoral election. His stunning victory over incumbent Mayor Katie Rosenberg marks an unmistakable repudiation of failed Democrat policies and is a win for central Wisconsin values. Never minding the, you know, attempt to make Democrat a pejorative of Democratic if you refuse to use the correct word. But again, what we're saying here is the weight of the Wisconsin Republican Party getting involved in mayoral elections and school board elections, in other elections that for all of our lifetime had been nonpartisan. People will say, well, Democratic parties are involved. They are now. They are now because for several cycles past, everybody looked askance at the Republicans and said, you're not supposed to be involved in this. And finally, enough Democratic parties at the state and county level said, okay, I guess this is how we're doing this now. And so these races have become partisan, and the amount of outside dark money that came in through Republican circles to smear Katie Rosenberg is rather telling. But it took that much of an effort to convince just enough voters to go in a different direction in that 52-48 race. There was equally sleazy behavior down in Milwaukee, where in one case, a landlord sent an email to all of his tenants threatening a rent hike if the Milwaukee Public School referendum were to pass. Now, while that's not patently illegal, you know, it's illegal for an employer to dictate to an employee how to vote or to threaten their job, you know, if they don't vote a certain way, it's not illegal for a landlord to send an email like this threatening rent increases if, you know, if they happen to support a referendum, or maybe in the future it'll be a candidate that they don't like. These are the kinds of things that, again, should be called out. Even if they're not illegal, they're certainly wrong, and people should call attention to it and, you know, let others know that we're better than that in this country. Well, at least we should be. Which brings us to the former president. Here's a couple of things that he had to say yesterday in Michigan. These audio clips are from Michigan, but he said many of the same things a couple of hours later in Green Bay. Here's him basically making a threat in Michigan that if he doesn't win, that there's not going to be any more elections in the United States.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country's going.
Now,
because
this
if we
is
don't
what,
win on November 5th, I think our country is...
This is what he's saying. He's saying to his supporters, you go ahead and engage in violence after November 5th if I don't win. That's what that is. That is a flat-out encouragement, appealing to a subset of people who... Just listen to this next comment. When again, we're talking about a country that desperately needs immigration reform. And there was a chance to get it, and Donald Trump killed it because he still wants to use rhetoric like this when describing migrants.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
They're not humans. They're animals. That's where fascism starts to lay an anchor and build a foundation, if we listen to words like that. But of course, closer to home, as people gave their pregame addresses prior to Trump's appearance in Green Bay, you get comments like this by Congressman Tom Tiffany.
In Joe Biden's America, he has a Department of Agriculture that has they have an agency, the Civil Rights, Diversity, and Inclusion Agency. You know, I think back to when I was a kid growing up on the farm. Diversity used to mean when we'd have Jerseys and Guernseys along with our Holsteins. I remember
there.
Inclusion
there.
Used to be...
Right in there, in that soundbite right sisters, there, is the ugliness of somebody who's grown up amongst nothing but white people, who sees that anybody else is different. And for him, diversity isn't something to be celebrated and to be encouraged, but to be compared to farm animals. That's Tom Tiffany. And you heard all those people booing with a mindset that has to be addressed, because right now they think that they are victims because people that were underrepresented and repressed for generations are suddenly not being so oppressed any longer. And I'm going to play one clip about somebody talking about their 401k at the rally. This is why they supported Trump, and you'll have to forgive there's some wind noise in the middle of it, but give a listen to this.
Who's the only person who can continue to allow us to buy gas-powered cars in 2032?
No, I'm sorry. That's Glenn Grothman. We'll get to it in another segment where somebody talks about how their 401k has still not recovered from the post-COVID recession, and that somehow that's Joe Biden's fault. Folks, we've got the best economy in the world that had a comeback from the pandemic recession. Best in the world. Not perfect, still room to grow, but if your 401k hasn't made it back then, you need to talk to your money manager, because we're at a stock market that's been at all-time highs for weeks, if not months. But again, if Donald Trump tells enough people the economy is bad and migrants are animals, too many folks, sadly, are going to believe these untrue things to be true. Our climate check is next. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We'll hear more later this morning from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection about avian influenza impacting dairy herds. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. We know now that cattle from infected herds in places like Texas and New Mexico have made their way to the upper Midwest, with detections now in Michigan. Trying to keep Wisconsin safe is the goal of Dr. Darlene Conkle. She's our state veterinarian, reminding all dairy operators, all livestock operators, to be mindful of biosecurity.
Changing footwear, wearing clean clothing or clean coveralls, washing hands, making sure feed areas and waterers are kept clean and sanitized. All those types of things help promote good biosecurity and reduction of disease on a farm. So we would just like to remind dairy producers and cattle producers in general to be very observant of their animals and let us know if they're seeing anything unusual and work with their herd veterinarians.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin state veterinarian, she'll be on a call later this morning with Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, to give us an update on the latest information they have on high-path avian influenza and our dairy industry. Markets this morning holding firm in Chicago. Numbers are next. Research, education, and promotion. That's where Wisconsin soybean marketing dollars are invested. Pat Malule from Clinton, current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, says they evaluate every research dollar they invest multiple times.
The other part of those research proposals is it might come in as a four-year study, but we cannot fund more than 1 year, so we have to reevaluate them, and each year they resubmit and we get a progress report. And there's some, over the years there has been some programs or proposals that we ask them to tweak midstream, and here's what's going on, and sometimes they push back and we come to a conclusion and move forward with them generally.
Pat Malule from Clinton is the current president of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, research, education, and promotion. You can find out more about where soybean dollars are being invested in the state. Go to wisoybean.org. This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained a penny and three quarters to 145 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was up three quarters of a cent, 144 and a half, while AA butter gained 7 to 292 a pound. This morning, the May Class 3 milk for cheese up 9 at 1578. June's up 8, 1646. Right now, December new crop corn's up 2 at 469. November new crop beans are up 2.5, 1179, while July wheat down a penny right now at 560 a bushel. So just a quick market snapshot as we get rolling into a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It is going to be windy with scattered off and on snow through the day today. We may only get a couple more inches of accumulation, but wind will be from the north gusting to between 30 and 40, even up to 45 at times, and that will create some issues. 37 today, more light rain and snow tonight, 33 tomorrow, rain and snow ending 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And we're back now on Up North News Radio with our friend Melissa Baldoff, who gives us our weekly climate check, talking about more visits to Wisconsin from VIPs and using climate and energy and savings on your home budget as the foundation of this week's visit. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Very good. Thanks. Now, of course, we all know Wisconsin is this very pivotal state in the presidential election. You've certainly seen it from the Biden campaign with all the visits by the president, the vice president, the first lady, cabinet officers. Biden's coming back to Wisconsin next week, Monday. But his energy secretary was in the state recently, and that's what we're going to focus on today because, again, from a pocketbook standpoint, there's a lot that the administration has done. And yet, as we seem to say quite regularly, Melissa, it's like they can't do too much when it comes to promoting the Inflation Reduction Act and the way that it is saving people money.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is something where I think we're just going to continue to see good news and positive news as people understand more about the savings that are available and start to realize those savings. Because, you know, I think in the past and even still, right, you know, I think there are any number of people who want to make choices that are good for the environment, that are, you know, going to help transition to that clean energy economy, but costs can be prohibitive, right? You know, it's not always easy and accessible to do the thing that you know is the right thing and that the thing is that you want to do. These are decisions that come down to a family's bottom line. And what we're seeing with the Inflation Reduction Act is it makes it so much easier for families and small businesses, for schools, for any number of entities to make those environmentally smart decisions without hurting their bottom line and without it being, you know, economically prohibitive.
Yeah, the last time around that we talked about this, we talked about things being done at the utility level scale and that utilities were going to be using union labor for some of these big projects in terms of energy generation and distribution. So now we're coming back down to the, by and large, the household level or maybe the small business level. And I would recommend for folks, there's an article in the Wisconsin Examiner that really takes the Energy Secretary, former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, and her her two-day tour around Wisconsin. And it included you know, Governor Tony Evers and Congressman Mark Pocan accompanying her. And in one case, visiting a home where, again, new windows, not the sexiest thing, but a massive savings on your energy bill. That's sexy, Melissa.
It is. And, you know, we replaced our windows not that long ago, last year, and have definitely seen, no, it's 2 years ago now, and have definitely seen that we're experiencing a reduction in energy costs. So I think that is something that people feel. Absolutely. You know, it's difficult and at this time of year to open up the utility bill or pay it online, however people do it, and you see that number, and anything you can do to bring that number down is really important. And I really appreciated Secretary Granholm, you know, talking about this, the summer of rebates coming up. And I think that's a really smart way to think about it. This is going to be money that is coming back to people in Wisconsin and across the country. They're going to be, you know, replacing windows, updating their appliances, all kinds of things that are going to help them save a lot of money on those energy bills.
Yeah, the secretary, you know, she, according to the article here, she name-checked several manufacturers of wind turbines, battery components, heat pump compressors. They're all going to benefit from provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and more. But then there was this roundtable with seven manufacturing companies that produce products that are likely to qualify for those federal rebates that you talked about to be offered later this year from the Inflation Reduction Act and provided to homeowners who replace existing home appliances with cleaner, energy equipment. And this one particular homeowner saw when the energy efficient windows were done, a utility bill that went from nearly $400 a month for January a year ago down to $149 this past March. And, you know, while, again, any one person's example may not be typical, I think it is pretty easy to say that for many homeowners, it's probably worth examining what these rebates are and seeing if it doesn't jumpstart some overdue work around the house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, weatherizing, it's, you know, up to about 30% savings. And then same thing under the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, 30% off when you get tax credits for solar, 30% savings to buy an EV charger for your home, $7,500 if you want to buy an EV, $4,000 if you buy a used EV. So this is, you know, this is real money for people that is going to make a difference. And it's that I think that having these conversations at that really, you know, granular level is so important, because when we hear things at the, you know, that big macro level, you know, we've talked about these huge investments, and we know that the IRA is, you know, this generational investment. You know, this is the biggest ever investment in climate action to give us this, you know, net zero future. But those numbers, you know, $9 billion in federal government rebates, that can just sound so out of reach, I think, to people. And they think, well, what is it actually going to mean for me? And so often I feel like people can get a little bit lost in that, right? And it's hard to imagine how you benefit from that. Maybe people assume, well, this is going to help big businesses. This is going to help people, you know, with really expensive homes. This is going to help kind of the, you know, what we've seen, what we saw under the former guy and what we've seen in the past under Republican leadership, that the relief is going to the folks at the very top and to the people who least need it. And what I think is so smart and special about the way this has been structured is that this is going to help everybody. And when we have these kinds of conversations, when you have somebody like Secretary Granholm come to Wisconsin and meet with, you know, real people about how this is impacting them, I think knowing somebody, you know, cut their utility bill by more than half from some of this is a lot more impactful than just hearing $9 billion. Because to me, that's so much more relatable to know what it feels like and what the impact is on that, you know, individual level.
I think as well, from a political standpoint, I won't say it puts to bed, the talking point, but certainly sets it back that, you know, anything that's done from a green energy standpoint is, you know, is very expensive, and that you don't make it back, or that it's, you know, punitive. We hear Republicans talking about, oh, your stove is going to be outlawed, and your lawnmower is going to be outlawed, and your car is going to be outlawed. And it's just, it's silly. And the alternative is to actually show real world examples of where these kinds of investments by the public sector pay off for taxpayers in their utility bills and overall costs.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that, you know, another thing that, you know, kind of stood out to me in, you know, reading about and, you know, checking out on the news about this visit and learning more about what happened in this conversation was, you know, our friends with Wisconsin Conservation Voters who have been on, we've had guests before come on to talk about their work advocating for the Inflation Reduction Act. And, you know, we had Jen Giedrich on a while ago talking about their advocacy campaign going door to door to talk about the IRA. And so, you know, we got a little bit of a readout from them with the secretary's visit about what those conversations looked like. So they knocked on 76,000 doors last fall. They're about to kick off another 100,000. And some of their takeaways are that only about one third of the residents that their canvasser spoke to had heard of the Inflation Reduction Act. But when they heard about the provisions about the rebates, the tax credits, the technology that will save energy and reduce emissions, the support was through the roof. More than 70% of people said they liked what they heard. And that's, you know, across the political spectrum. Didn't matter if they were Republicans or Democrats. They liked the idea of saving money and protecting the environment. And, the, you know, the other thing they learned is that the people who were already informed about the IRA were ready to do more. They were excited to do more, to think about how they could use those programs if they hadn't already, and how they could go about getting more credits and rebates. So I think that really underscores why it's important that we continue to have people like Secretary Granholm coming through Wisconsin, keep advocating for the IRA, because when people know about it, they really like it. Much like the Affordable Care Act, right?
I was just going to say that the parallels are striking in that you do have to explain to folks what these things are, because it is so much easier to trash something, to just say the Affordable Care Act is bad, it's socialism or whatever, and you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, spends all this money. And if you just leave it at that, people are going to go, Oh, yeah, okay. But when they actually learn what's in these things, they see what good policy is. We always talk about the difference between politics and policy. Politics is, you know, a necessity, but at the bottom line, you should be passing good policy. And if that's what has to be done, that, you know, folks with Wisconsin conservation voters have to knock on 100 or 200,000 doors to get the word out, well, it might be frustrating, but in the end, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I think that the IRA and our clean energy economy are going to continue to be at the forefront of some of these conversations that are happening as we see these, you know, campaigns go on. I think that this will be something that President Biden and Vice President Harris and their, you know, surrogates are going to talk about when they come to Wisconsin and when they go to other states. And knowing that the more people hear about it, the more they like it. I think it's a great message for them. I think it's a great thing for people to hear about. And I think we'll continue to have these conversations over the, you know, next, you know, what, 7 months until the election.
Now, there was another part of Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm's visit, and it was to the Milwaukee area, and talking about part of the Biden administration's energy plan, which gives financial incentives to clean energy companies that locate in economically disadvantaged areas, pay the prevailing wage, and meet some other requirements. And again, you see the attention to detail that if you're just looking at the politics, somebody's going to go, oh, this is DEI, this is CRT, this is, you know, whatever. No, this is when you invest in communities where, you know, the government has not incentivized investments, you can actually turn around economic fortunes. And that's what they're looking to see happen with programs like this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, too, this is another example of the way that the Biden administration is listening to people in the states, in the communities who are on the ground doing this work, and helping to, you know, take that information and use it to shape the way that programs are administered. That's also something that we saw from, you know, the Focus on Energy program here in Wisconsin, soliciting feedback. So you've got people like Antonio Butts at Walnut Way, and his organization has done a lot of work over the years to educate, to organize, to really build community. And I think that they have, you know, just a vitally important perspective on how to make these programs accessible and make them successful. So I really appreciate knowing that, you know, the Biden administration and the Evers administration are listening to people who are the experts on the ground, because that's going to make these programs that much more effective.
For more about the actual visit, I would point folks to WUWM Radio out of Milwaukee for their coverage of it, or go to energy.gov and learn more from a Biden administration standpoint about the things that are out there and the things that are available. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much again. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right, bye.
When we come back, we're going to have today's history lesson and more on this Wednesday morning. Coming up next, you're up north.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Happy birthday, Tony Orlando.
Stars won't come out if they know that you're about.
How can you be mad and listen to this music?
You can't. It's Tony Orlando and Dawn. Melissa Kay joins us from locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Oh, great.
Oh, see? That's the magic of Tony Orlando, who turns 80 years old today. He was born Michael Anthony Orlando Cassavetes in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of New York City. He had a big hit in 1961 as a teenager. And then nothing happened for years and years after that. 1970, he was asked to record some vocals for this song, Candida, because the original singer didn't work out. It became a hit, and then it went on from there. I remember watching the Tony Orlando and Dawn variety. Everybody had a variety show back then.
Yes. You know,
Sonny and Cher and all the others. And folks, that was just good, clean fun. You know, Donnie and Marie, who was it? The Hanson brothers?
No. Oh, you mean the hockey players?
Not the hockey players. No.
Not Hanson Umbop.
And not Hanson Umbop. It must have been the McKeans. I don't know. You know, time takes care of a lot
Melissa,
of these
Melissa, we lost
cells.
Him. We lost him.
Yep, he is. He's gone down the early 70s variety show rabbit hole once again.
Weren't a lot of them siblings, too?
Yes, you know, especially say you're Donnie and Marie and your other family groups, you know. Mm-hmm.
The Bradys. Jackson's,
the Bradys.
Anderson sisters.
Oh, the Bradys. They tried having a few songs. They had a variety show. They don't all work, folks. They just don't all work.
No,
Jane Goodall is 90 years old today. Actor Alec Baldwin is 66. And here was the number one song this day in 1971 by The Temptations. Well, that sounds about right for somebody whose imagination about early 70s TV seems to be running away. On this day in 1995, the Real Audio Player is introduced, allowing users to stream audio over the internet for the first time. I remember getting one of those first Real Audio players and setups, and you felt like a wizard downloading music off the internet for the first time. It was just and now even that sounds like grandpa talking. There's young people that, you know, have no concept that there was once a time where there wasn't streaming of music on the internet.
Remember Napster?
Napster, of course.
Sorry, and I was a LimeWire home. Thank you very much.
Oh, LimeWire. Sorry. But didn't it feel like, you know, kind of naughty?
Felt like board? Stealing.
Yeah.
Because like, it was.
Because it was. It was, exactly. On this day in 2000, in the court case United States versus Microsoft, Microsoft was ruled to have violated antitrust law by keeping an oppressive thumb on its competitors. You see, it can be done. Maybe it needs to be done again. That's and nice. On this day in 2010, Apple released the first generation iPad. Remember when the iPads first came out? I mean, those were just so cool.
I couldn't wait to get out of my price range. When he pulled them out, he's like, "This is the iPad." I'm like, first of all, terrible name, getting it made fun of. Second of all, what are we doing, Steve? We don't have to do everything. I was a huge Apple fan at the time, and I was just, I was very, very skeptical of the iPad. Boy,
what I see now is that pretty much nearly every news anchor has one in front of them. I don't think I could do that. I would, because I'd be afraid I'd lose my place, or it would, you know, crap out, much like my computer this morning took forever to fire up because it did a software. You know, you're right in the middle of reading a news story and it gets software update, you know, reloading in 3, 2. I need the
gray
paper scripts.
At the home opener yesterday, they had a four-person string quartet play the national anthem, which, by the way, kind of underwhelming on the rock and home opener of it all.
Yeah, but it really was.
But three of them were using iPads for their sheet music.
Oh, yeah. Yep. It's very
popular.
Yeah, you
see it all the time.
Yep. Let's see. Another birthday today. Wayne Newton, 82 years old today. Wow. He was a lot younger when he had hits like this one.
Melissa, what's the first thing you think of?
Darker shame, darling, darker shame.
Oh, see, she did not watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, okay. Pat steals for the victory.
On this day in 1860, the first successful Pony Express run from St. Joseph, Missouri to Sacramento, California.
Pat, you were there for that, right? How was that?
I was, yes. I recall. And a postcard costs a penny. And one more birthday. Happy 63rd birthday to Eddie Murphy. And you're like, well, wait, what are you going to do? Play a comedy clip from Saturday Night Live?
No.
He charted with a single as well, one of the most forgettable of all time, but let's get it stuck in your head yet again.
Oh no.
She wants to what? Yes, a lyrical triumph from Eddie Murphy.
If you would like to
party all the time, party all the time.
If you want to shake off the doldrums of the election, go to YouTube and watch the video for this song. It has a blonde, curly-haired Rick James in it.
Ooh, my!
It is awful and wonderful.
Yeah, that was true 80s excess. I was the news on, I think, WAQE in Rice Lake at the time, which also meant you were kind of the DJ for the 5 a.m. hour as you were putting all your newscasts together.
Yeah.
And that thing would come up at, you know, 5:20 in the morning. And you're just thinking, A, this is terrible. And B, it's even worse during the 5 a.m. hour. Has no place here. But it is what we got. Today is World Cloud Security Day. I assume that's a computer thing and not related to precipitation or anything. This is National Chocolate Mousse Day, which again remains inferior to French silk. Fight me. This is National Japanese Fan Dance Day, National Film Score Day, National Tweed Day. Wouldn't that be an autumn thing when people wear like their tweed jackets, things like that? Do you have anything maybe tweed, Melissa?
My natural hair color is tweed.
Okay.
Pat, you strike me as the kind of guy who has a tweed jacket.
I have had a tweed jacket in the past. Yes, I have. You know,
I have a pair of pants. I would categorize as tweed.
There you go. And I'd specifically go down to the UW-Eau Claire campus just to walk around in my tweed jacket in the fall with the patches on the elbows. This is National Paraprofessional Appreciation Day and National Walking Day. So, you know,
we've got and trounce around in the snow.
Yep. Look at that. I left you all of 15 seconds to tell us what's new on locally grown radio. What should we be listening for?
Well, we had election coverage last night, and Wisconsin Rapids elected a new mayor, Matt Zacher. and I was up all night, so I don't have much else.
We're all a little, yeah, there's not a lot left in the tank there. Well, enjoy things, Melissa. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
When we come back, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be here, and later our homeroom segment talks about the school referendums that did and didn't pass around the state. Back after this, you're up north.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wednesday on the Maggie Dawn Show, is Donald Trump the second coming of Jesus Christ? I think not.
Save big money on everything for your roofing project. Now at Menards. Atlas shingles are durable and feature a limited lifetime warranty and up to 130 mile per hour wind rating. Choose from 20 styles in stock, ready to take home today. Check out Menards' options of Atlas shingles in store or online at menards.com. Plus, view the weekly flyer for many more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah.